Welcome to our service for the 18th Sunday after Trinity. We've chosen today for our harvest celebration. We can't decorate our churches as we might like to in these times, but we'll have harvest services of morning worship at Penbryn and Newquay today. At Penbryn, I'll be thinking of Sue, who couldn't imagine a harvest service without our first hymn. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above, then thank the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord for all his love. We plough the fields and scatter.
Says, when you have eaten your fill, and built fine houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks have multiplied, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then do not exalt yourself, forgetting the Lord your God.
Let us confess our sins to Almighty God.
Lord God, we have sinned against you and done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. The Harvest Collect. Eternal God, you crown the year with your goodness, and you give us the fruits of the earth in their season. Grant that we may use them to your glory, for the relief of those in need and for our own well-being, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Oh. Amen.
Me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul, and I will trust in trust. I will trust in you, and I will trust.
I will trust. I will trust in you.
Reading from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verses 7 to 18. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with flowing streams, with springs and underground waters welling up in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land where you may eat bread without scarcity, where you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and from whom hills you may mine copper. You shall eat your fill and bless the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you. Take care that you do not forget the Lord your God by failing to keep his commandments, his ordinances, and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. When you have eaten your fill, and have built fine houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks have multiplied, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then do not exalt yourself, forgetting the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, an arid wasteland with poisonous snakes and scorpions. He made water flow for you from flint rock and fed you in the wilderness with manna that your ancestors did not know, to humble you and to test you, and in the end to do you good. Do not say to yourself, my power and the might of my own hand have gained me this wealth, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, so that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your ancestors, as he is doing today. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 9, beginning at verse 6. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to provide you with every blessing and abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gives to the poor. His righteousness endures for ever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ and by the generosity of your sharing with them and with all others, while they long for you and pray for you, because of the surpassing grace of God that he has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dewy, waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Sowing in the sunshine, sowing in the shadows, fearing neither clouds nor winter's chill breeze. By and by the harvest and the labor ended, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Going forth with weeping, sowing for the Master, though the loss sustained, our spirit often grieves. When our weeping's over, he will bid us welcome. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves.
May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Soon and very soon, as the song says, soon and very soon, the dreadful day of doom is coming, and I will find out whether there are any potatoes in the large grow bucket which I've been assiduously topping up with compost for the last several months. The harvest time is near. We celebrate Thanksgiving for the harvest today, and for entirely unrelated reasons, potatoes are a key theme. There was a fascinating programme on Radio 4 some months ago, which explained that the potato was the foundation crop of Northern European prosperity from the 1700s onwards. You, like me probably, will undoubtedly have thought that the reliance on the potato was a disaster because of the appalling famine caused in Ireland in the 1840s when the potato crop completely failed, and the response of the British state was hopelessly inadequate. But the problem in Ireland seems to have been that as well as the potato being the only crop, one variety of potato was the only crop, and the disease that killed that one variety would not have killed every kind. In general, the potato became the crop of choice for many northern European economies because the amount of carbohydrate food produced per square metre was far greater with potatoes than it was with wheat. You could feed more people for a smaller cost. One of the balances that have to be struck in designing these online services, and indeed the two services we now have in church, is the inclusion of readings, hymns and prayers in the Welsh language. It will probably not have struck most of you, but two of the churches we've not yet been able to open up, Llangrannog and Llantysilio, are the ones in which we use most Welsh. So it's important that the services in Penbryn and Newquay include a little Welsh, and very important that this online service always includes some. Today, for example, although we have no reading in Welsh, our online prayers will be led by Helen, and they will be bilingual. The hymns, however, for Harvest are a bit more difficult. Pretty much all the best-loved Harvest hymns are in English and best known in English, even by people for whom Welsh is their first language. So without a hymn in Welsh, I wanted to add a Harvest blessing in Welsh today. And so I went on the internet to try and find one. And that is where the potatoes come in. I couldn't find a Harvest blessing, but I did find a fascinating MA thesis from Lampeter by a man called Alan Phillips about the Ceredigion harvest in the mid-19th century, more or less the same time that the Great Potato Famine was happening in Ireland. It shows how the poorest people in Wales, as in Ireland, depended on the potato. But it's also fascinating about the relationships within rural communities at the time of harvest and beyond. This section deals with Ceredigion, or Cardiganshire, as it was then called. In Cardiganshire, the hay harvest began in June. Each farm would send a scytheman to mow the relevant field from first light to midday. And on the final day of a farm's hay harvest, women and children would join the work parties, and there could be a total of 50 or more people, with much teasing and banter. However, farms did not cooperate with each other during the corn harvest. The extra labour needed was provided through the feudal-like practice of setting out potatoes, gosod tatomas, by which local cottagers were permitted to plant rows of potatoes in farmers' fields in return for offering their labour at the corn harvest. This was variously known as the potato debt, deled tato, in mid-Cardiganshire, and the potato duty, dutitato, in north Cardiganshire. The debt amounted to a single day's work per row of potatoes to be repaid by the cottager or his wife. When I read that, it reminded me very much of the Old Testament law of which we've spoken before in relation to the Book of Ruth, the law by which the farmer did not glean to the edge of his field, but left a margin for the widow, the orphan, and the migrant, in other words, the poor, to gather grain in order to survive. But Phillips goes on to describe how this system built relationships in the community. The practice of dutitato connected individual cottagers with a specific farm and constituted that farm's individual medel, or work group, deepening the social bonds between its members and the particular farm. This sense of companionship is well illustrated by a poem written by David Jones, whose bardic name is Isfoil, a former member of a medel, in which he asserts that if he should ever reach heaven, he hopes to meet with his group members once more. The poem closes with the lines, "A darlin eton gyfan ar fedel yn o'i gyd," the picture again complete, and the members of the medel present, one and all. I've been vicar here for about 10 years now, and those of you with good memories could probably remember the gist of my standard harvest sermon. In some form or other, I usually point out that when Jesus likens the day of salvation to the day of bringing in the harvest, he's saying something deeper about the nature of both events and the connection between them. This is how Hebrew thinking seems to work. It's not just an image or a metaphor. He's not saying that the salvation of the end times can be likened to the harvest in a pictorial kind of way. He's saying that these events are really the same kind of thing. The harvest, in other words, is a matter of salvation, a saving event. Here is Alan Phillips again. The success or failure of the harvest would once have meant the difference between life and death. The corn harvest represented the high point of the farming year, and given the uncertainties always attendant upon its success, the sense of relief once it had been gathered in was palpable, and great merrymaking would inevitably follow. So the harvest was, in deep reality, a saving event. The difference, as Phillips puts it, between life and death. But it was also an event that created and strengthened a saved community. Sadly, it takes a week and a special booking to get into the National Library of Wales at the moment, so I couldn't get in there to look at the whole of Isfoyle's poem, and I couldn't find it online. But the last two lines of the poem have made me think again and think more deeply about the harvester's salvation, and how salvation thus means, as it always did in Jewish thinking, not just the salvation of the individual, but the creation of a saved community, the people of God. The people of Israel became a people when they became a saved community, saved in the miracle of their salvation from the oppression of Pharaoh by the crossing of the Red Sea. Israel feels and understands this in his heart, this creation of the saved community. He hopes and longs to see again the Medel, the community created by the gathering of the harvest, and hopes that he will see them in heaven. In the teaching of Jesus, the harvest is not just an image of the salvation of the individual, but of the saved community. We believe, says the Creed, not just in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting, but in the communion of saints. And so the poorer cottages and labourers of the rural community in Cardiganshire harvested three times. First, the hay harvest in June and early summer, and then in late summer, the corn harvest. Both these on behalf of the farmer, and only indirectly on behalf of the whole community. But then in autumn, at about this time of year, they harvested for a third time. They gathered the meagre potato harvest, the harvest from the edge of the field, which would see them through the winter. The people of the Medel, saved for another year. Amen.
And now let us affirm our faith together.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
As our Saviour taught us, we boldly pray. En tad yr hynnoet yn y nefoedd, sancteiddiad y enw, deled y dernas, gwneled y wychlis, megis yn y nef fechli ar y ddear hefyd. Dor yn ei heddiw ein bar y beneddiol, y maddau i ni ein dyledion, fel y maddewn ni na ein dyledwyr. Ac nac arwain ni brofedigaeth, eith y gwared ni rhag drwg, canis eith o ti o'r dernas, a'r gallu, a'r gogoniant, and on our side. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Generous God, at this harvest time, we thank you for all the good things you give us. As we thank you for our food, we remember all those who do not have enough for even one proper meal each day. Lord, bless all those who are suffering, particularly those who have been affected by lack of money and work during this difficult time. We pray for the homeless and those who depend on the charity of others. We pray for the work of the local food banks, providing food for those in need. Help us to share the harvests of the world more fairly, so everyone can be fed and there will be no more starvation. Lord of the harvest, hear our prayer. Ar adeg y cynhaeaf, rydym yn dwyn i gof pawb sydd ynghlwm yn darparu bwyd ar ein cyfer. Y ffermwyr, pysgotwyr, siopwyr a'r gyrwyr sydd yn sicrhau fod y cynnyrch yn ein cyrraedd ni. Bendithia pob un ohonynt a helpwch ni i sicrhau ei bod yn derbyn cyflog teg am ei gwaith, boed yn y wlad hon neu dramor, trwy brynu'n lleol neu cynnyrch masnach deg lle bo hynny'n bosib, fel y bydd tlodi yn dod i ben. Arglwydd y cynhaeaf, gwrando ein gweddi. At this harvest time, we thank you for the world we see around us, for the flowers, the trees and the animals. Bless all those who care for them, Lord. Help us to protect your creation by being careful about how we use your resources, so that there will be clean water, clean air, and plenty of wild birds, mammals, and insects to maintain the ecological balance of our countryside. Lord of the harvest, hear our prayer. Gofynnwn arglwydd i chi ofalu am ein teuluoedd, ffrindiau a chymdogion yn ystod y pandemig yma. Mae'n bosib na fyddwn nhw'n medru gweld ein gilydd am gyfnod hir eto, a bydd gwybod ei bod yn ddiogel yn eich dwylo yn helpu leddfu ein pryderon. Bendithia pawb sydd yn dioddau salwch, yn enwedig rheini yr ydym yn ei adnabod. Arglwydd y cynhaeaf, gwrando ein gweddi. We pray for those whose lives have been gathered into your presence, whose work here is done. And in a moment of quiet, we call to mind those known to us. We pray for all the people throughout the world who have lost their lives to coronavirus and ask that you give us strength to endure these difficult times. Help those who are working to find a vaccine so that we may once again return to our normal way of life. Lord of the harvest, hear our prayer. Source of all life and giver of all that is good, hear our prayers and grant us all that is in accordance with your will. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
May the love of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you, this day and always. Amen. Last week's Look on the Bright Side was one of our longest. This week's is certainly our shortest. Incredibly, we've been recording these services for 6 months now in the bedroom of our house in Nanternis, where Sam looks after my dad. And over the weeks, our recordings have occasionally been enriched by the sound of birdsong through the open window, but also interrupted by the noises that inevitably happen in the course of an ordinary day. Dad's carers arriving and cheerily greeting us from downstairs in the middle of a take, the dog barking at a passing tractor, or snuffling round the room knocking microphones or stands. But of all the interruptions we have caught on tape, as it were, this one is our favourite. We'd practised this introduction a couple of times until we were happy with it, but now we were ready for a take.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.